cultural Marxism infiltrates and infects Springfield and the rest of America. All about that and how we beat it back. In episode 8 of the New Resistance Podcast, let's do this.
I'm telling you, good citizens are turning to real concern and revolutionary citizens real soon. How do you feel about being complicit in perpetuating that? The greatest toast ever perpetuated on the American people, and you're part of it.
Now we're supposed to have unity. Let me tell you something. I'm part of the new resistance.
What's up? How's it going, folks? Hopefully these words find you doing well. If for some reason you're not, perhaps you've lost a loved one recently, or something else is bumming you out, then I pray you find hope in today's episode, or that you will at least find a much-needed momentary distraction. Hey, I want to thank you for joining me once again on the New Resistance Podcast, the outlet and voice for whistleblowers, dissidents, and watchdogs of Springfield and beyond, where we're keeping our elite government in check and making their deaf ears ring with the truth. Now, before we get started, I want to remind you that any comments, questions, or suggestions can be emailed to the_NRP@yahoo.com. Or you can post a comment or two at BNRPodcast on Facebook. Also, if you feel so inclined, I urge you to share this and every other episode. Now, today's topic is somewhat of a continuation of the previous episode, talking about China's cultural revolution and today's woke revolution. While on the other hand, a whole separate monster in and of itself. It is known as critical race theory. It is the dominant driving ideology behind wokeism and the woke revolution. I ask of you to listen all the way to the end. But first, in other news, the coronavirus lab leak theory is quickly becoming more and more reality than we were ever told last year. Fauci's emails being publicly released and revealing that Peter Daszak, who is the link between our tax dollars and Fauci and the Wuhan lab, and who also said in interviews that there were never any bats inside the Wuhan lab, he had put together a letter signed by a bunch of so-called experts and scientists stating that COVID-19 definitely came from nature, basically. That was done in order to throw off the murmurings that we now know were buzzing around in late January of 2020 of a lab leak, which would have and has brought a lot of heat onto Fauci and Daszak both for funding the research that resulted in this pandemic. Yes, it was that foolish. The emails also revealed that he actually thanked Fauci for publicly promoting the nature theory. Also this past week, Sky News in Australia released video footage it obtained from inside the Wuhan Institute of Virology of bats in cages that were supposedly never there, and footage of Chinese scientists in a cave collecting the very species of bat that definitely did not ever occupy cages in the lab, the one in Wuhan. And they also showed footage of humanized mice that we were told by Mr. Daszak were not used in the gain-of-function research that also never happened. One might think Mr. Daszak and Mr. Fauci should be in a bit of trouble. I think most of us already kind of know whether that will actually happen or not. Second, in the January 6th supposed insurrection news, Ashley Babbitt, the young military veteran and only one to be killed on that day by a Capitol Hill policeman, her killer's name has yet to be made available, so her family has decided to sue the government for it. They deserve to know who killed their loved one. Even if she hadn't served her country, it should be known. But good grief, putting herself deliberately in harm's way for us. I think she is owed a little bit more respect than this. Apparently, around Capitol Hill, it is just like the supposed Ukraine call whistleblower. Remember him? Definitely not Eric Charamella. The cop's name is pretty well known. If it is who has been reported, it is. Obviously, I can't confirm that, but it's apparently pretty well known. Then this same officer once left his loaded handgun in a public restroom at the Capitol. Now, could that be part of the reason why the release of his name is being handled like Eric Charlamella's name was in 2019-2020? And finally, in some local news, it seems as if Mr. Craig Hosmer has found an ally on city council finally, in his ire towards the Chamber of Commerce's absolutely corrupt and ridiculous influence over our city's government and our city's government officials. They have overwhelmingly funded and essentially own a majority of the current and past office holders on the Springfield City Council and Mayor's Office. Somehow, Mr. McClure received $100,000 from their PAC this past election. $100,000 for a position that only pays $250 and thousands for council seats that pay nothing. That makes sense to you? Anyways, from what I understand, Hosmer is not a chamber guy and has been unwilling to play ball with them. And he has finally found an ally in Angela Romine, the newly elected Zone 1 councilwoman. They both voted no on the city's budget this last meeting, and they plan on introducing an amendment together that would defund the chamber, the money that they get from the city of Springfield. Why the city utilities, police department, and other city government agencies and public institutions are paying dues, etc., to the chamber, I do not know, but they sure don't deserve one penny of our tax dollars. So please take a minute and email or call and leave a message for Councilwoman Romine and Councilman Hosmer and let them know that you support their efforts to defund the chamber. I also strongly encourage you to sign up to speak at the next city council meeting in favor of the amendment. Hey, I've done it several times. You can too. Those two deserve our support. I'll be there the next meeting. After this one. I believe the next one is this coming, well, tonight, maybe. The chamber has way too much influence in this city. Okay, let's take a break. I will return in a couple of minutes. Hey guys, I want to take a few seconds here and tell you about an app called Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. And it's free. And your episodes are automatically made available on most of the major podcasting platforms. Just go to your app store and download Anchor, or go to anchor.fm.
You guys should know this, and it's kind of spreading all across the pop culture and in the activist media and in a lot of different churches, unfortunately, which is very dangerous, is that if there anyone disagrees even slightly, they don't say that you're wrong, they say you're a bad person. Instead of saying, I think you're mistaken here, they say, no, you're actually immoral. And that's, where does that lead you? Well, all of a sudden, if you think that you're not just correct with an argument, you think you're a better person, well, that gives you a moral license to then resort to things that all of us would deem to be unthinkable.
And we are back. By the way, are y'all enjoying the show so far? Those of you who've heard every episode, what has been your favorite so far? Your least favorite? Anybody? Let me know. I don't bite. I'm not pulling a Jeb Bush and begging for people to respond. I'm just curious what y'all think so far. Anyways, every big subject I have covered thus far since the inception of the New Resistance has been about a big threat that we as free people face today. So far, they have mostly been threats we face from the government, politicians, the elite ruling class. However, what I'm going to talk about today is more of a cultural threat. It is a big part of the woke revolution I talked about last week, the main driver behind it. I am talking, of course, about critical race theory, or CRT for short. CRT has quickly become the orthodoxy of nearly every single institution in America today. It has completely infected every level of our government, including Springfield, by the way. Our media, our sports, entertainment, the arts, science, and our schools and colleges, our churches, our military. Yep, most Americans, especially older Americans, have never heard of it or don't understand exactly what it is. Which, there's so much coming at people these days. It's no surprise. And some people just, you know, don't have their heads in this stuff every day, so they wouldn't know. Which is what they take advantage of it. The proponents of this. The time has come for that to change, which is why I chose to cover it today. We have to know what this is, so that we know how to fight back against it. This isn't something we can just leave to the few that already know about it. All of us, must come together and beat this back. Well, that is already starting to happen, which I will tell you about coming up later. There are many, many cultural threats we face today. Critical race theory is by far the gravest and most dangerous. It is nothing but a manipulated attempt to control you, to try to resist it, and they will take you down. Just ask Donald Trump, the former commander of the Space Force, the mixed-race student from Nevada who received a failing grade because he refused to confess his white dominance. The Loudoun County, Virginia parents and students who were doxxed and harassed by a Facebook group, including their very own principal and the district attorney who encouraged it. Or the Springfield teacher who was cut off and escorted out by a school resource officer at a school board meeting recently, which you will hear about in the next segment. So, what is critical race theory? It is an ideology steeped in Marxism that elevates race as the most important aspect of our identities. It pushes racial oppression as the chief factor that explains everything that has happened in American history and in our society. They say that white supremacy is everywhere, around every corner, under every rock. It surrounds us, kind of like the Force for you Star Wars fans. CRT bitterly divides us. Any society it touches into racist or anti-racist. You see, it's not enough anymore to just be against racism, as that makes you, in their eyes, complicit or engaged in upholding the benefits and privileges as a result of systemic racism. In other words, it makes you racist too. No, you must be anti-racist, which means you are actively doing the work to combat racism so that power is shared more equitably. Of course, like all leftist and Marxist scams, it's not really about what they say in public. One of the things proponents of CRT say they're trying to eliminate is whiteness. You'll hear more people talk about their whiteness or your whiteness, the evil of whiteness, and so on. Except whiteness, to them, is everything you'd associate with the Western world and common sense. CRT comes out of something called critical theory. Critical theory was born in 1920s Germany by a group of Marxist professors at the Frankfurt School. The most well-known out of the group was a man named Herbert Marcuse. It's spelled Marcuse, but pronounced Marcuse, as far as I've been able to find out. He is known as the grandfather of CRT. Now, a former Harvard professor named Derek Bell is known as the father of CRT. But it all started with Marcuse. The Frankfurt School's original name was going to be the Institute for Marxism. Really. But you have to remember that Marxism, socialism, and Nazism, National Socialism, were all brewing in Europe at that time. Critical theory says that there are no universal truths. From the start, it was really all about attacking Western culture and its institutions, and plotting through cultural change what Marxism couldn't do politically, which was to destroy them. Then in the early 1930s, when the Nazis came to power, being that Hitler and the Nazis hated communists and Marxists almost as much as the Jews, they escaped and eventually ended up in the U.S. at Columbia University and other prestigious schools later. So they landed at an Ivy League school. Isn't that a surprise? Marcuse eventually grew frustrated and felt the working class had been tricked into thinking the American dream and capitalism were good things, but were both enslaving the people. And there you have the Marxist concept of masters controlling slaves. Or as Marx put it, the bourgeoisie over the proletariat. Karl Marx believed this would never last, that the working class would revolt and seize control. Well, that didn't happen in America. Fortunately, Americans preferred, and believe it or not, overwhelmingly still do today, the idea of improving the country as opposed to overthrowing it. Smart decision. Now, after the civil rights movement of the 60s, Herbert Marcuse found a new avenue to exploit. See, he caught what Malcolm X was throwing down, not MLK Jr., and thought if they could get it into American universities and let it germinate, they could grow something that could eventually kill this capitalist system. Thus, the seeds were sown for the most destructive force and possibly final undoing of the greatest country this world has ever seen. And grow it did. For decades, critical race theory was relegated to only college campuses, the empty minds of professors and know-it-all university students. However, today, it has become the default ideology of unelected bureaucrats, public school boards, human resource department, in the form of forced diversity training programs, public policy frameworks, and school curricula. Supporters and instructors of said training programs spit out a series of euphemisms that describe critical race theory. You've no doubt heard most of them by now. Equity, a society that truly works for everyone. Diversity and inclusion. Those last two are favorites of Kenny McClure. Listen to his public speeches over the last couple years. Even the use of the word critical in front of names of theories is one of the euphemisms. Social justice is another one that is widely used. Social justice only creates more injustice. They realized that neo-Marxism would be somewhat of a hard sell. Equity, on the other hand, sounds non-threatening and is easily confused with the principle of equality, which they exploit and have done so quite successfully so far. But the distinctions of these two things are quite different. It is very important that you understand this. To them, equality represents something that provides camouflage for white supremacy and oppression. Whites are the oppressors, or the bourgeoisie, and people of color are the oppressed, or the proletariat. In contrast, equity, as they define it, is nothing more than reformulated Marxism. Historically, anti-American has been way overused, but in this case, it's not a matter of interpretation. CRT prescribes a revolution that would overturn the principles of our Declaration of Independence and destroy what's left of the Constitution. George Floyd's death and the BLM riots that followed allowed CRT to escape colleges or the lab. and super spread throughout our culture, virtually overnight. Now, what does CRT actually look like in practice? Well, let's start with the New York Times 1619 Project. It's a historical expression of CRT. It says that this country was supposedly not founded in 1776, but that America actually started when the first slaves arrived. You guessed it, in 1619. But America was founded on racism. The 1619 Project is an attempt to refound the country away from what made and still makes us the greatest country in history, and replaces them with the kind of historical practice of slavery and oppression that they argue still continues to this day. This outrageous publication has been made a part of the curricula, and along with Robin DiAngelo's book, White Fragility, has been put as required reading in schools all across the country. How about the Smithsonian National Museum on African American History's exhibit on whiteness and white culture? Rugged individualism, self-reliance, the nuclear family, objective, rational thinking are apparently all racist. Western and Judeo-Christian traditions. Hard work is the key to success. If you didn't reach your goals, you didn't work hard enough. Racist. Christianity. No deviation from single God concept. Respect authority. Following rigid time schedules. All racist. The FBI, DHS, Treasury Department, CDC, every branch of our military, as well as Coca-Cola, Delta, Sandia National Labs, they make our nuclear arsenal, all have been caught forcing employees, mostly the white employees, to suffer through diversity and inclusion and intersectionality training sessions. Those are but a few government and non-education examples. Universities, where this lie of an ideology incubated for decades, are getting on it as well, showing how woke they can really be. Maryland University. Black student leaders created a list of demands, one of the most egregious being putting a mark on the transcript of students accused of hate speech. Accused, not convicted. Stanford created the Youth Justice Lab, which claimed merit-based grading policies are insidious forms of state-sponsored racial segregation. In April 2021, a former law professor published a list of the, quote, whitest law schools in America. The higher the score, the more inappropriately white the school. Well, the deans of Chastis University were not very happy with their score, so they decided it would be a good idea to excoriate the whole student body in an email for being too white. And mathematical sciences research in Berkeley even discovered a new racist thing. How exciting! What a breakthrough! They put together a workshop on mathematics and racial justice. So math is now on the racist list. Look, it's so easy to just laugh a lot of this off. I mean, come on now. Math is racist? the college has really created a hateful, bigoted, racist monster. And now it's marching at will down Main Street, right towards its next big conquest. K-12 schools and your children. More on that and how far CRT has planted its feet in Springfield after this break.
When you scratch a critical race theorist, you find a totalitarian, and there's no other way. And in fact, they're not even subtle about it. They're very clear. They want to get rid of protection for free speech. They want to get rid of private property. They want to have large-scale wealth and land transfers. They've adopted positions of power in order to deconstruct the system.
We are back. Thank you for being here, my friend. Before we go any further, I want to remind you to check out all the previous episodes if you haven't yet. And you can listen to them at anchor.fm/pxpx and on many, many other podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. I also want to go back to segment one real quick, where I mentioned sending emails and messages to Councilwoman Romine and Councilman Hosmer in support of their amendment to defund the money the city gives to the Chamber of Commerce. You can find their information at the Queen City Watchdog website. It's all on there. It's easy to find. That's queencitywatchdog.com. So, at the end of the last segment, I mentioned that the Marxists of the radical left, the proponents of critical race theory, were marching down the road to their next target, which is our K-12 schools and our children. I have to tell you that right now, their revolution is working very well. They are winning. This country is being absolutely destroyed from within by Marxists and by a bunch of radical, common sense deficient intellectuals with loud voices. Besides wanting your kids steeped in their dangerous nonsense, as an article from the Heritage Foundation titled CRT, the New Intolerance says, quote, CRT sees the official school curricula as a culturally specific artifact designed to maintain a white supremacist master script. End quote. State school boards, even in some red states, are getting really serious about overhauling their respective state curriculum and retraining teachers. By the way, we need to stop calling them public schools. They are now government schools. Because that's what they've become. Indoctrination centers. Anyways. Oregon put together an 82-page guide to, quote, dismantling racism in mathematics instruction. Apparently, according to this guide, asking kids to show their work, you know where this is going, right? Simply asking them to show work is, dun, 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 white supremacy. And it asks teachers to identify and challenge ways that math is used to uphold capitalist and imperialist and racist views. And in California, they have created an ethnic studies requirement for all high school students. It'll be the only education a kid needs in their new America. It's important to point out that by kids, I don't just mean high school students, but middle and elementary school students as well. They are starting the indoctrinating machine earlier and earlier. In Arizona, GOP Governor Ducey, who fashions himself some kind of freedom-loving conservative, has allowed his state school board to create an equity toolkit that suggests racism starts as young as 3 months of age. This is sick, you guys. It's sick. Instead of looking for communists around every corner, we're searching for whiteness around every corner. May the Almighty watch over and protect us. It should be no surprise by now to learn that CRT has trickled down to the local level also. Critical race theory activists have descended on our schools, both public and private, by the way, with a vengeance. Sadly, Springfield public school system has not been spared. The diversity training sessions forced on the teachers of SPS gained national attention back in January when Chris Rufo published an article at City Journal titled "Anti-Racism Comes to the Heartland," where he explains what was happening right underneath our noses. There were several different training sessions. The one he writes about happened at Cherokee Middle School. Here is a clip of Rufo talking about his Springfield article in an interview he did with Glenn Beck earlier this year.
What you describe in here is really very disturbing. Can you tell this story?
Yeah, this is from a Missouri middle school in Springfield, Missouri. And what the trainers did, these are school employees, they convened their employees, all of the teachers at this middle school. They sent them an oppression matrix, basically saying that white, heterosexual, Christian, English-speaking males are the oppressors, and then other groups are the oppressed. They told teachers to essentially divide themselves up by who are the oppressors, who are the oppressed. Then they sent them a list and had them go through this list of white supremacy. They said property taxes that fund schools are white supremacy. Dressing up as Pocahontas for Halloween is white supremacy. Colorblindness, the idea of trying to see people's character but not their race, is actually white supremacy. And then they went through a whole system of exercises to basically demean and stereotype and degrade these employees who were just outraged. And finally, one employee, actually a white arts teacher who was raised by a black stepfather, said, he stood up and said in the audio recordings, he said, "Hey, look, I was raised by a black man. He taught me the principles of Martin Luther King. And what you're teaching is actually derived from neo-Marxism, from the a philosopher called Herbert Marcuse. You're teaching us to be Marxists, and this is too much. It actually does nothing to bring us together and to kind of heal racial divisions. It actually divides us further apart." And this person was essentially shut down immediately by the two white diversity trainers. And they basically said, "Hey, we're in control. We know what we're doing. We know where this philosophy comes from. We know that it's a derivation of cultural Marxism, but we're going to do it anyways, because that's the program that we have."
I've personally seen the materials from that and seven other training sessions SPS teachers went through. I'm here to tell you, it's every bit as bad as Glenn and Chris make it out to be. CRT has infected this school system bad, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, they've given the tired old excuse of critical race theory is not being taught here. And to be transparent with you guys, the words critical race theory do not appear in the materials or videos one time. Not once. But after doing a little digging by a couple of sources, on one of the invoices for this hate training, sits the words critical race theory. So yeah, it sure is being taught here. I will show you further proof here in just a second. Then they also give the other standard deflection of the training is only meant for the teachers, not for the students. Boy, you know for sure that leftists and Democrats are involved in something when you hear these same exact talking points given all over the country. If you just listen long enough, you'll hear it from every school board that pushes this crap. It's not meant for students, but under goals on a slide from one of the sessions, it says to create a shared understanding around, quote, our ethical responsibility to make SPS an inclusive and equitable learning environment for all students. Well, you know, I'll just bet that the school board and the administration completely forgot all about the animated systemic racism video.
This is Jamal. Jamal is a boy who lives in a poor neighborhood. He has a friend named Kevin, who lives in a wealthy neighborhood. All of Jamal's neighbors are African American, and all of Kevin's neighbors are white. Because Jamal's school district is mostly funded by property taxes, his school is not very well funded. His classrooms are overcrowded, his teachers are underpaid, and he doesn't have access to high-quality tutors or extracurricular activities. Kevin's school district is also funded by property taxes, so his school is very well funded. His classrooms are never crowded, his teachers are very well paid, and he has access to high-quality tutors and lots of extracurricular activities. Kevin and Jamal live only a few streets away from each other. So how come they're growing up in such different worlds with such different opportunities for success? The answer has to do with America's history of systemic racism. Today, for every $100 of wealth held by a white family, black families have $5.04. This explains how Kevin and Jamal inherited vastly different circumstances. Unfortunately, the story doesn't end there. A big part of systemic racism is implicit bias. These are prejudices in society that people are not aware that they have. You can see evidence of systemic racism in every area of life. The disparities in family wealth, incarceration rates, political representation, and education are all examples of systemic racism. Unfortunately, the biggest challenge with systemic racism is that there's no single person or entity responsible for it, which makes it very hard to solve. So what can you do? The first thing you can do is work towards becoming more aware of your own implicit biases. What are some prejudices that you might hold that you're not aware of? Second, let's acknowledge that the consequences of slavery and Jim Crow laws are still affecting access to opportunity today. As a result, we should support systemic changes that create more equal opportunities for everyone. Increasing public school funding and making it independent from property taxes would be a great start, so that poor and wealthy districts can receive equal access to resources. Systemic problems require systemic solutions. Luckily, we're all part of the system, which means that we all have a role to play in making it better. Peace.
I'll bet anything they forgot all about the animated white supremacy video, too.
If we want to eradicate white supremacy once and for all, first we need to understand its history and the psychology behind it. White supremacy can be traced back to a combination of two major turning points in human history: colonization and the scientific revolution. When Europeans started to colonize the world around the 16th century, they ruthlessly killed and enslaved every indigenous population that they came across. The indigenous tribes were no match against European weaponry and power. And the Europeans concluded that if these tribes were so easily conquered, it must be because they were somehow inferior in power and intelligence. This boom in colonization happened to coincide with the European Age of Enlightenment, a time when European philosophers and thinkers were trying to explain the world through science instead of religion. One of the first things they tried to explain was this experience of superiority over other indigenous cultures. They wondered if there was a hierarchical order to nature based on race. They wondered if light-skinned people were perhaps more evolved than dark-skinned people. And just like that, a body of work called racial biology was born. Racial biology was basically an attempt to classify humanity as a hierarchy of inferior and superior races, with white men, naturally, at the top. Even though the ideas behind racial biology were eventually debunked by science, a lot of those ideas form the basis of modern-day white supremacy. So how does white supremacy find an audience in today's world? Well, studies show that the country's changing demographics are fueling subconscious fears in white populations. Simply put, a lot of white people feel threatened by diversity. And one of the main ways that white supremacy attracts new members is by using that fear as a catalyst to create a sense of purpose, a sense of identity, and a sense of community. As long as we have people that lack a sense of identity, community, and purpose, and are threatened by diversity, white supremacy will continue to find a home in people's hearts. So what can you do? Practically speaking, you can do a couple of things. Number one, own your privilege. These are the unearned advantages that you were born with. Things like growing up in a stable home, being born in a wealthy country. These are things you didn't earn through hard work. Acknowledging your privilege fosters gratitude instead of entitlement, and it makes it harder for hateful ideologies to enter our communities. Number two, support organizations like Life After Hate, who are actively working to transition people out of hate groups by fostering their own sense of identity, community, and purpose. White supremacists need violence and conflict to validate their fear of diversity. This is why they usually plan rallies in ultra-liberal communities. They want confrontation. They want violence. So let's not feed their fear. Instead, let's lead by example by creating our own sense of collective identity, community, and purpose. If we all lead with empathy and compassion in our own lives, we can help eradicate white supremacy from our culture once and for all. Peace.
In one of the sets of materials, there was an introduction video from outgoing Superintendent John Jugman. He should be absolutely ashamed of himself for allowing any of this cancer to seep into his school system and harm any of the students under his care. Here is that introduction video.
Focus Area 5 to put an increased focus on equity and diversity actions in our system. Part of that is professional learning. We know that our learning really impacts our students and our community. As we think about the last year, there have been a lot of things that have been playing out across our community and our nation, whether that be COVID-19 or racial injustice moments against the Black community that have played out in cities across the United States. Our students, our staff, and our community have been impacted by those moments. We need to take time to reflect and continue to learn about how we use those moments to grow our system, to grow our students, and to make sure that this educational experience is the best one possible for everyone involved. I hope you enjoy the learning. Thanks and have a great day.
Yeah, I'm really sure your teachers thoroughly enjoyed being forced to go through these sessions. Being told they had to, quote, act professional or be told to leave and get no credit. You know, the definition of professional in this context has something to do with agree with us or shut it. I'm also just pretty positive they enjoyed having no choice but to sit and listen to being told that calling the cops on Black people, color blindness, white silence, saying all lives matter, denying you have white privilege, denying you're racist, are all examples of covert white supremacy. Or how about when establishing guiding principles of the training, participants were told to, quote, lean into your discomfort, acknowledge your privileges. Oh, I bet they were just overflowing with joy. Wouldn't you be? And one thing that struck me as particularly galling about what Mr. Jugman said was when he talked about students and teachers growing and making sure this educational experience is the best one possible for everyone involved. So I ask you, after listening to this clip of a teacher named Brooke Henderson speaking to the board, she was cut short and escorted out of the building by the school resource officer. I ask you, is this the best possible experience, especially for the students?
Good evening. in my 21 years of being a distinguished educator, a champion for equality, inclusion, and diversity, as well as an expert in the field of education, I have only publicly spoken about concerns that directly impact and place our kids in harm's way. And tonight I'm here to speak about the truths and the myths of the mandated reining, known as equity and diversity in SPS. It is causing harm to the district and is causing harm to our children. During the mandatory Zoom in-person training, some in my group were told that as the election was coming up, it was our duty as educators to ensure that we teach our kids, our students, to grow up and vote for socialist politicians. You can reference the slide on socialism that was in the Zoom training. It is not the duty of the district to tell me how to vote, nor whom to vote for. It is also not the duty of teachers to teach kids who to grow up and vote for. Not only have we failed, but we've stripped away the rights from the family to raise their child as they see fit. Another myth, the training was only for teachers and not for students. I've seen it published, I've heard it in board meetings. The mandatory Canvas portion of the training included links and multiple resources that were labeled as, this would be good to share with your kids. And seriously, what would the purpose of Brain Pop videos and Sesame Street videos about Black Lives Matter, Inc. be needed to teach the teachers if they weren't to be shared with the kids? There was even a personal recorded message from our superintendent encouraging teachers to apply it in their classrooms. Another myth, at the last board meeting, it was stated that only senior leadership attended the Facing Racism Institute that included critical race theory. The truth, SPS made it mandatory for the presentation for senior leadership, Board of Education members, and site equity champions. If there were no plans to implement the components of critical race theory into the classroom, then why train the site champions? During my training, I asked a specific question about Halloween costumes, as it was on the oppression matrix. I specifically asked how this should be addressed in the classroom, as the training was to be implemented in the classroom. I'll sum it up. As Halloween was just around the corner, I asked specifically about Disney movies and kids dressing up like their favorite character. The response was to tell your student you're happy that they like, let's say, Moana, and that you cannot support their decision to dress like them, but you'll be happy to help them research Moana. As an educator, it is not our job to shame kids. It is our job to lift kids up. It is not my job as an educator to take on the role of the parent. Sadly, I believe this guidance has been implemented into our classrooms, and kids are made to feel ashamed. You can say it's not in the classroom, but the truth is, it is, and we are failing our kids.
Thank you, Brooke.
The biracial child... I'm not done.
I'm
tonight. I am here to
up.
Be the voice of one child that has been impacted by CRT in their school.
Up.
The biracial child, according to the parent, after attending SPS, felt so bad about the being white part.
I'm allowing you to speak. Your 5 minutes is up.
Okay. Well, you have a child in SPS that tried to commit suicide because they were told they were white.
Time is up.
This is your school board, Springfield. This is what your children, grandchildren are experiencing. How many other students have either attempted or thought about suicide as a direct result of what they're learning at school? Does that not make your frickin' blood boil? Well, it should. Think about that. A young kid deciding there is not any reason in this world to breathe life for even 1 second longer because of his skin color. But yeah, Mr. Jungman, best experience for everyone. Growing those students. Pitiful. Despicable. Mrs. Henderson goes on to talk about that experience a few days later in an interview with KSGF's Nick Reed. I will post a clip of it on the show's Facebook page, or you can find the whole interview on KSGF's website, where she says that she had a strange feeling something was up when she stepped up there to talk, that she just knew they were going to cut her off. This is what happens when you step up to oppose Marxist, critical race theorist, leftist. all the more reason to go back the next time and speak louder and bolder and bring people with you that will speak as well. We cannot be intimidated by these people. When they try to shut you down, think about what that young boy went through and is still going through. And I assure you, from experience, that boy's thoughts, the thoughts that led him to make an attempt, didn't immediately leave his brain or his heart the second he was stopped. Think about that next time you're getting told you have to shut up. To kind of start to wind down this segment, I want to share a clip from a man named Stephen Hall, who is apparently a communications guy from SPS. I don't know much about this dude, so I can't tell if he is just straight lying out his ears and knows better, or whether he is nothing but a useful idiot in this whole scheme and knows not what he speaks of. Here's a clip, a short clip, of an interview he did with Color 10 a while back. I'll let you decide for yourself.
It is professional development training, and there's really nothing controversial. It basically is about helping us understand and listen to one another. It has nothing to do with that particular theory. This is not curriculum designed for students. Sometimes this important work can make us uncomfortable. But if we learn to lean into that discomfort, then that's when real growth happens, and that's when positive change occurs.
Now, as I said earlier, this ideology has infected and spread throughout Springfield. It appears kind of like coronavirus did. Except this virus is much, much more insidious and deadly and long-lasting. It has spread throughout City Hall, the mayor's office, Missouri State, even some of the churches in town. A couple of quotes from those outside of SPS as examples. Wes Pratt, the chief diversity officer of MSU. The existence of a chief diversity officer is itself a sign of severe CRT infection. Anyways, Mr. Pratt said, quote, "The district's effort to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion ought to be saluted and praised. They are simply efforts to promote the value of the inclusion of diversity." End quote. Lastly, and in my opinion most foolish, the pastor of a local Christian church, a man named Phil Snyder, says that of the forced training and indoctrination, quote, "really, it's just about being better human beings. It's about being decent to one another." And that progressives like himself are often accused of hating America. Geez, where would we get that idea about progressives? But, he said, they want this country to be the best of itself with justice and liberty for all. Examining the past and learning from it is a part of growth. Really, folks, we've examined the history of CRT, where it came from, who was involved in its inception, what its purpose is. What do you think is it about being better human beings and being decent to one another? I think old Pastor Snyder may be a wee bit off. Hey, I don't care what they call it. They can call it diversity, equity, whatever word they want to use. I've clearly laid out here what this sickness, this evil theory is all about. It's clearly cultural Marxism. It's clearly CRT. All of the pieces are there plainly for all of us to see. And they all know that. Don't kid yourselves. The main people pushing for this foolishness through the school system and throughout Springfield know what this is. We can't let them get away with that excuse. They're denying its existence in hopes that we will quiet down and back off and stop shining a spotlight on their actions. They're creating a system of tyrants and autocrats that will tear this city and this country down. It already is. I end this segment with audio from a video that a student took earlier this month at Pershing Middle School. You may have heard about it. During a summer school class, it's yet more evidence of what diversity, equity, and inclusion training is doing to this school system.
Oh, but just because I support another thing doesn't mean I don't support straight people too. Just because I'm Mexican doesn't mean I don't also support black people, or Irish people, or ignorant people.
Never said it was like that.
Okay.
Just said you get ignored.
Would you like a special unicorn cupcake for being straight jerk?
Yes.
All right, come here. Get a straight jerk cupcake for being a pill.
I'm just trying to be annoying.
You are annoying. You were very successful. Congratulations.
Thanks.
What a dip. All right.
What?
A dip. Like a dipstick, a butthead, a weasel.
A weasel.
Pain in my butt. Everybody's welcome to a unicorn cupcake.
Is this the kind of teaching you want your kids and grandkids getting? We'll be right back. You're listening to the New Resistance Podcast.
Hey, it's Michael Hasty, and you're listening to the New Resistance Podcast. Thank you, and tune in again. See ya!
Hey, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. I really do appreciate your presence in my audience as we work to identify and educate ourselves on the incredible threats we face today. They are numerous. Together, we will stand up and fight back. Reminder, if you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, email the_NRP@yahoo.com. Or leave a comment on Facebook at The NR Podcast. Hit like and this show on Facebook or hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts so that you can be alerted and notified when a new episode is released. And don't forget to check out all the previous episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or just about any other major platform. Or you can go to anchor.fm/pxpx. So, before the break, we were talking about how far CRT's racist claws have dug into SPS and into Springfield overall, really. Now, how is this stopped? Or can it be? So far, attempts to stop or even slow down the new left's racism have proven ineffective. Several reasons for this. First, too many Americans, especially conservatives, are too scared to speak up about social and political issues, especially about race. Look, I understand you don't want to lose your job. You don't have any desire to deal with the social media mobs. You don't want to lose friends and family. I understand that. I really do. It's incredibly depressing to think about all of that happening. And as we've seen, that can happen real quick with this bunch. Plus, Historically, conservatives generally tend to have the attitude of just leaving people be, letting them live their lives while we live ours. But it's time to take a deep breath and stop that. By staying silent and using the old conservative way of leaving them be is ceding all public debate to those pushing and forcing these anti-American lies in their march right through every inch of our country and our society carries on unimpeded. Second, critical race theorists have shaped their argument much like a mousetrap. Any disagreement with their program has been made out to be irrefutable evidence of the dissenters' white fragility, white supremacy. For example, with the diversity training, the instructors will make an absolutely outrageous claim, such as all whites are intrinsically or inherently oppressors, then adopt a patronizing, hateful, abusive tone when faced with disagreement, and will explain that participants who are defensive or feel anger are feeling such a way because, come on, you know what's coming, don't you? Come on now, say it with me, because they are white supremacists. And the final reason I want to discuss is, again, there are more reasons. These are just the ones that I thought needed to be talked about the most. The writers, activists, talk show hosts, congressmen and women, parents, etc., who have actually had the courage and strength to speak up and speak out against CRT have tended to address it on a theoretical level, pointing out the obvious contradictions and unbelievable dishonesty about our history. CRT-based programs, when put into practice, are often hateful, divisive, traffic in racial stereotypes, racial segregation, race-based harassment. Please don't get me wrong. These criticisms are worthy and dang good. But they fail to force defenders of this revolutionary Marxist ideology to defend the practical, real-life consequences of their ideas in the realm of politics. This is no longer an academic thing on college campuses, as we've discussed today, and has been reported at various lesser-known outlets for years, but heavier over the last 6 to 9 months. No, CRT, or whatever phrases they want to disguise it as, is now a tool of political power. It is now a weapon of governments on all levels. The Biden administration uses it heavily throughout every corner of the federal government. Even Springfield City Hall, Mr. McClure, has given clues if you know what to look for. After today, you have no excuses not to see it. Look at his State of the City speeches from the last 2 years. Look at the hiring of this diversity and inclusion position they've created and hired for already, paying $112,000 a year. Look back at their reasoning for needing it. Now, I don't know anything yet about the gentleman they've hired, except his name is Taj Suleiman. Before he came here, he was the director of equity at Dubuque Community Schools in Dubuque, Iowa. Before that, he was the equity outreach coordinator for the city of Dubuque. But my criticism has nothing to do with him personally. Following Herbert Marcuse's dictum, or pronouncement, on repressive tolerance, a 100-plus page screed he wrote in 1965, I believe, that basically says Western society's tolerance of all viewpoints actually contributed and or contributes to social oppression and privileges the viewpoint of the powerful. The New Left, for which Marcuse is the grandfather of, has become a practice of officially sanctioning double standards, and discrimination and racism is encouraged, so long as it advances the left's power. However, there is a massive backlash brewing that will likely surprise and anger many adherents to this intolerant ideology. They've gotten way too comfortable with dominating our public institutions. They see any level of pushback as an affront, then immediately throw out such moral concerns about free speech, academic freedom, blah, 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 blah. There is no worse offense than anything that goes against the almighty narrative. Boy, do they lose it when you say or release something that goes against or disproves their narrative. Well, they had better just settle in and get freaking used to it. The anti-woke movement is gaining steam. There's infrastructure being built as we speak to take on this hateful ideology, wherever it lies, in government, academia, and like we have discussed in greater detail than any others today, in our K-12 public and private schools. Parents are awakening to what is being done to their children, and more broadly to their local communities, their churches, and their country. And the old leftist standard of refusing to debate on the actual facts, the actual real-world consequences of their actions, the mob harassment, the rioting, violent protesting, the canceling, hoping we'll just go away, won't work this time. We've had it. Parents have had it. School boards, mayors, city councils, woke industrial complex, their elitist enablers. Time to see the writing on the wall. The marshaling of investigative reporting, lawsuits, legislation, sunshine and FOIA requests, protesting, activism, what Dan Bongino calls the conservative-style Alinsky treatment, and what will become undeniable, if it hasn't begun to already, in the weeks and months ahead, your very own worst enemy, the righteous anger of parental activism. Here is just a small sample of said parental activism from school board meetings across this great country.
When you talk about critical race theory, which is pretty much going to be teaching kids how to hate each other, how to dislike each other, that's pretty much what it's going to all come down to.
Parents, don't be afraid to speak out for your kids because they are voiceless and they rely on you. Students, you are on the front lines of these indoctrination camps. Challenge the staff when you're presented with a ludicrous statement and do not allow anybody to tell you to hate yourself because of your skin color.
You've ignited the firestorm, a great parent awakening. You as a school board answer to us. You got it wrong.
Growing up in Mao's China, all this seemed very familiar. The communist regime used the same critical theory to divide people. The only difference is they use class instead of race. During the Cultural Revolution, I witnessed students and teachers again turn against each other. We changed school names to be politically correct. We were taught to denounce our heritage. The Red Guards destroy anything that is not communist. Old statues, books, and anything else. We are also encouraged to report on each other, just like the Student Equity Ambassador Program and the Bias Reporting System. This is indeed the American version of the Chinese Cultural Revolution.
Good evening. I'm an Arizona taxpayer and employer of over 100 people in this state. I'm disgusted that you are lying to the citizens of this state and the people that pay your salaries. You say critical race theory is not in the school district, and then moments later, you have someone come up and use that word, equity. Is against who we are as Americans. I implore this school district to reconsider. Thank you.
Not one white person ever came to me and said, well, son, you're never going to be able to get nowhere because you know the black people. But guess what? Black folks are getting told by other black folks, oh, you know you ain't going to be able to do nothing out there in the world because them white folks ain't going to let you get nowhere. Oh, you know you're not going to be able to do it because you know, the white man going to keep you down. Well, how did I get where I am right now if some white man kept me down? Nobody want to get to the heart of the matter, get to the meat of the matter, get to the moral of the story. It all comes down to it. The person that's going to be suffering from this, the ones going to be hurt from this is the kids.
I'm the mother of a high school senior and an eighth grade son. And my fear is this type of curriculum will actually breed more racism and more divide in our country rather than unity. I fear that this is actually taking a step backward.
The school board recently adopted an equity statement. Why? Your only job is education, not indoctrination. Attention board members, our nation is a republic. We are the people. We have a voice. Stop trying to incite division among us.
You're darn right. Amen, brother. They answer to us. We don't answer to them. These local school boards using non-science to throw a face diaper on your kids, demanding they be taught how to be racist. Parents have had enough. There was a bed to be made locally, and they're making it. It's happening. Now, all over the country.
I chose to focus mainly on the schools. CRT is also sadly running rampant through every branch of our military, our CIA, our State Department, everywhere. But our schools in everyone's local communities, I believe, are the places that we, as everyday people, as forgotten people, can make the biggest and most immediate impact. Yes, we should still follow and pray about what's going on nationally. But as far as direct action goes, our schools and school boards are the best chances for changing the tide against this evil that is critical race theory. If you can, sign up to speak at a school board meeting. Join or start a protest outside the school board meetings, a peaceful one. And anywhere else in your community that CRT dares to show its ugly face. Write an op-ed for your local newspaper or website. If they are cowards and won't publish it, then make them famous for not doing it. And find some other way to get your piece to the public yourself. Contact me or another local podcast. Call into Nick Reed and say what's on your heart. Join a group that is fighting CRT. Back on Track, for example, locally. Calvin Morrow, he's local. Look him up on social media. Follow. There are other groups on Facebook. Groups of parents, teachers. Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk's organization, is fighting it hard. There are legal organizations that have been formed and are gearing up to fight this in the courts. Chris Rufo has one called Stop CRT Coalition, among others. Look them up. Donate a few bucks if you have it and feel led to do it. There are many independent websites and journalists doing really great reporting. Check them out. Support them if you can. Chris Rufo at city-journal.org. Glenn Beck at The Blaze, Blaze TV. Subscribe if you can. He has some just on fire specials he's doing. Or check out his podcast. Tucker Carlson, on fire. All this year about CRT. I will post on the show's Facebook page a whole list of people and groups and organizations that you can support. We must stand up in our own communities. We, on this side of the fight, have to change from the people we were. We have to change everything we do and think in regards to how we look at our role in this war that has been waged against our way of life, our history, and our future. People are tired and broken from the last year and a half. We must start fighting on offense. Enough of this perpetual, weak, ineffective, defensive posture. Donald Trump isn't in office and gonna save us anymore. This is a big enough cancer, he alone couldn't have stopped it, even if he were reelected. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the ones. We are the ones we've been waiting for all this time. We are the rebels now. We are the ones on the outside. There is a coalition forming. Republicans and Democrats are uniting to fight. Atheists and Christians are finding common ground. Liberals and conservatives and more. They're uniting to fight for their kids. The sleeping giant is wide awake and is pissed off. And we have good reason to be. We are watching our country crumble before our eyes. Don't ever let anyone tell you different. Critical race theory is racist and bigoted. And what they are doing to the children of Springfield and the rest of America is child abuse. Don't you dare be afraid to say that out loud. This cancer has been growing for a very long time. Ultimately, it's not about equity or diversity. This is about bringing down the great, mighty America. It's about discrediting and destroying everything that makes her a beacon of hope and freedom for millions around the world, and replacing it with some Marxist hell that only they control. Herbert Marcuse understood that very clearly when he brought this poison here. If you were asleep before, you better wake up now. Wake up and join the fight to save this country. There are too many fronts to fight them all at the same time. You have to decide which one concerns you personally the most and go full force. You will be called a racist. You will be yelled at, pushed out, called other names. And when they do that, you smile right in their faces and ask them, are you done? This has been the most heartbreaking episode I have researched and put together so far. More so than I did on 9/11, I fear for the future of the United States. Yet it has also left me with the most hope.
And let me tell you right now, if we are going to defeat the woke assault, then all of us need to wake up. The slumbering church needs to wake up. The patriots across America who love our nation, who reject the stinking pile of lies that the left is selling. We need to wake up, we need to energize, we need to engage. And let me tell you, we can win and we will win.
For many years now, the radicals have mistaken Americans' silence for weakness, but they're wrong.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are gonna fight for freedom.
Critical race theory says every white person is a racist. Critical race theory says America is fundamentally racist and irredeemably racist. Critical race theory seeks to turn us against each other, and if someone has a different color skin, seeks to make us hate that person. And let me tell you right now, critical race theory is bigoted, it is a lie, and it is every bit as racist as the Klansmen in white sheets.
Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force.
And those who would divide us, those who would spread lies, it is evil. Common sense is there, it is real. And the American people are with us. We've just got to see it. We've got to believe it. Look, it's easy right now to turn on the TV and be discouraged. Be demoralized. I got to tell you, every time I see some extreme radical thing happening in Washington, I am encouraged. because there's a natural pendulum to politics. And the further and further and further crazy left they go, the more the American people are going to bring us back and pull this country back from the edge of the cliff. And I'm here to tell you, revival is coming. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm here to tell you, morning is coming. It's one thing to sit there quietly and do a golf clap. It's one thing to say, oh, I believe we'll save our nation. It's another thing to be fully committed with every ounce you've got to begin the morning on your knees on prayer for our nation, to spend the days standing and speaking the truth that America is great, that freedom matters, that faith matters, that we will take our nation back, that we will defend America, and revival is coming. God bless America. Revival is coming.
To blame, there is no more shame in me. In me, I just feel the same, immune to all you say, and the scars don't write a song for me at all. Tears won't light a path for me to crawl. I am a stone, unaffected. Rain hell down onto me. Flesh and bone, unaffected. You're a fool, I will not be. I am a stone.
My name is Seth. This is the New Resistance Podcast. Until next time, see ya!